started yesterday learning a new book about kashrus. The whole book is just kashrus, both dealing with kashrus outside and kashrus in the house. And what do you do if you're in a place where the place is not so kosher, and how do you deal with these things? And also when Tu B'Shvat comes, we'll talk about how to check fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. Stuff which stuff need to be checked, which stuff not be, how do you check things? I'm not such an expert in the subject, but we have the book here that's going to help us, and I have Ohad here that can always give me a boost. But we'll do it. We have Kodesh Baruch here; he's here all the time with us, helping us. It's too dark, I think. I won't be able to read. I'll just close some of the fix.
You're tapping with this. You want to tap it with this?
No, it doesn't do it. I take it out.
You rotates.
Yeah.
That's
it. What's going on, Bernie? What's going on, man?
So hot? Well, if they're fluorescent, they shouldn't be that hot.
Not really fluorescent. Wait till they cool off, and then we'll pull it out. In the meantime, I'll manage. Okay. So, sort of, everything we're learning right now, also we learned yesterday, now, is all sort of an introduction to kashrus, just to know the terms. Okay? I wanted to get sit here and be more in the yanim. Okay. Yeah, so first we're going to learn the terms, and then we're going to learn the halachas about the terms. First thing is, talk about evel min hachai. Ever heard of this term? Evel min hachai, a limb from a live animal. You're not allowed to eat a limb from a live animal. Right? What is it talking about? Talking about which type of animals?
Cows.
Cows and sheep. And stuff like that.
Only the three that are...
No.
Any
animal you could eat. Not fish. Fish, you let eat evel min hachai. Right? The fish is not completely dead. Right? And he cut up his head. No. Yeah.
Well, then it's dead.
Then
it's dead.
Then it's dead, right. Okay. Okay, there's another term we're going to learn about. It's called Adam Kasher. What's considered a kosher man regarding kashrus wise? Talking about. We know that a kosher man, Rabbeinu taught us that if he does an hour both of the day, he could be a kosher yid. But we're not talking about that term right now. We're talking about kashrus wise. Yeah? Anyone who we know he eats kosher, we trust him, even though he's not a big time chacham, but he's a person that he wants to Torah mitzvahs and he goes to davening every day and he presents tefillin. He's a regular yid. Yeah, everyone knows that he's normal. He gives tzedakah and he goes to shul regularly. Even though he's not, we could trust him. If there's a suffix, if something is, was it with the milk, or was it in full inside or outside? We could ask him. We could tell him. We could trust him. For watching our, what we're eating, right? Okay. We could trust him. There's a thing called omed adat, estimation. Yeah? With the halacha, that if there's an iser, for example, if one drop of milk fell into a bowl of chalent, and there's more than 60, an amount of more than 60 drops of milk. Right? There's more chalent, more than 60 times.
60 times.
The milk that fell in. We know that it's kosher. Right? But, still, you should take out that amount that fell in. If it fell in one drop, take out a drop of something, whatever's there.
But that's only meat and milk. That's not chametz.
No. Chametz is a different story. Talking right. about stuff which is batel shishim. Chametz, even a little bit, very good.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Even very little, even something, very, very little, the whole thing, the whole pot is.
Exactly. That's why I brought it up.
Exactly.
It's only if it's done by accident, right?
What?
It's only if it's done by accident, right?
What?
On purpose, put in under 60th of milk into the meat and chili.
If you did it by purpose,
then it's not
kosher. It's not kosher. But if it was done, even on purpose, you're allowed to eat it.
Really?
Yeah. But the evidence. How do we know that? We know in Chutz La'aretz, right? We know in Chutz La'aretz. I mean, not if you do it, if you know that it might can happen. In Chutz La'aretz, a lot of stuff that have a heksher, and it says B60 next to it. We had lists. In Argentina, we had lists of kashrus. What does that mean? It's kosher products. You can eat them. They don't have a heksher on them, but you can eat them. So some of the things, it says B60. What does that mean? There's a batel shishim in it. Meaning, let's say it was a dairy product. It was also made there, they also make meat next to it. So, there's a good chance that something spilled in. But, that's why there's a batel shishim. A lot of people don't eat that. It's not good to use it. I told you the joke, right? I told you the joke about the town which in the olden days.
Listen. Germany, it's a list, kosher list.
Yeah, but it's not a high level of kashrus. No, Chabad don't trust this. Chabad very much pay kashrus, and they don't trust it usually.
Bread with
water? No.
You don't trust.
Bread is like
it's up to the individual.
Yeah, no bread.
Makes the life easy more.
Yeah, people live there. So. I told you guys once a joke that there was a town that in the olden days everyone was very poor in Europe. So how did they make a challenge? They didn't have, not everyone can make. So they had a big pot in the middle of the town, in the square of the town, and everyone on Thursday and Friday used to come and put something in there, and then they used to fill it with water and cook it in the shul. And then, whatever, on Shabbos morning, they come with a pot, and they take home one pot to their family. So, one time, they find it, filling it up, a goy passed by. He had some not kosher meat on his shoulder, and he passed right by the pot, and a piece of the meat fell in there. And he went to the rabbi. What are we going to do? Well, this is our food, this is all the food for Shabbos, I mean, this is the food. He said, how big was the piece? Was it this big? Was it this big? Tell me how big it is. He said, it was this big. Ah, Baruch Hashem, batel b'shishim. Really? Well, what a chiddush. Batel b'shishim, there's more than 60 against it. You can eat it. Fine? Kosher. That's so funny. Anyways, after a few weeks, the Rav comes around, he's looking, he says, he asked the people in charge there, you know, past 2 weeks, the challenge was really good. What changed? See, after you taught us the batel v'shishim, every week we put a little piece in there. Batel v'shishim. Yeah, so you can't do it chatchila. You don't do that, of course. But if something's spilled in it, you're allowed to eat it.
That's why.
And you estimate.
You need really good supervision. In some hectares.
Yeah. There's something called ona'a v'kashrut. If someone sells or gives to another Jew something which is not kosher, right? First of all, he's over on nifnei iverot titen mikshol. He can't put a stumble in front of a blind man. Blind man doesn't mean someone doesn't see. Anyone, right? To cause the sin, you're causing him. It's like a blind man, and he's sinning now because this person is causing him to sin, and also he's helping a person to sin. Okay, and if he took money for it, he also another issu. Right? Something called like that. Okay.
For that, I want to mention a term called kosher style, where they claim it's kosher, but there's no supervision.
There's something like that in America?
Oh, it's very popular now.
Stumbling block.
Yes, that's so.
Totally, yes, sir. And people, when I had a snack bar, people were trying to sell me, quote, kosher style. No supervision, you have no idea what's inside it, and that none of the ingredients are listed. The other thing is, on ingredients, after a certain percentage, it could be anything, and it doesn't have to be listed. Also, the FDA, which is in charge of food, drugs, and everything else, is so corrupt now that they don't check anything. And the best example of that is pink slime, which is anything they can find on the floor, they put into a grinder and process it.
And it's okay, going to the...
Right.
That's why you have to have a very, you have to have supervision, like we say. See, I didn't mention that we have Yaakov here, which worked for many years in this kashas in this field, so I can so use it. Okay, then now there's something here which Yaakov doesn't know so much about. You know why? It has to do with Eretz Yisrael. Next year is coming up, it's Shemitah. Something called Otzal Beis Din. It's a law, right? And Shemitah is the seventh year. Seventh is a certain count. Every 7 years is the seventh year. You can't plant, you can't plow, you can't use the land here in Eretz Yisrael. The land has to rest, like Shabbos for the land. Now they use, but there's crops that do grow, right? And you don't throw them into the garbage. So, but you're not allowed to buy anything that you can't buy. Let's say, like this, if grapes grew, right, in Shemitah. They grow. You don't have to do too much for it to grow. It grows. You cut down the tree before, and it grows, and it grows. Now, you can't buy the grapes per kilo. Asur to buy the grapes per kilo. You can't do business with the produce of Shemitah. So what do? There's two ways. One way, which we don't hold of, but there are Jews which hold of this, but most of the Rabbanim are very against this. It's something called Hetel Mechira. The land is sold to the goy,
like the Arabs, terrorists,
to the goy, and then you're allowed to. It's not a Jewish land. You're allowed to work. You're allowed to this. You're allowed to buy the produce. You're allowed to do everything, right? A lot of poiskim, most of the poiskim, don't rely on that. It used to be like that 70, 80 years ago. There was very little produce in the country, and they were going to start. So some of the rabbis said we should do that in the meantime. And then it just kept on. But today, I'll tell you, there's so much imported, there's so much... another thing which is called, what we do is either it's from a goy, okay? If it grows from a goy, then you don't, no problem. It's called Yevul Nochri, or
from this land,
yeah. Or from outside the land it comes. It comes from Gaza, it comes from outside of the borders where it needs to be Shemitah. It's not the regular borders of the land, the state of Israel. It's also in Lebanon, and not down south, below Ashkelon, and in Negev. No, there's no Shemitah there. Only between there and Sul, which is in
Halakhic
borders. Exactly. There's another thing which is called Oitzal Beis Din. Oitzal Beis Din is they take the fruit that grew in the land and they sell it to Beis Din, not per kilo. They say, per box, give us 10 shekels a box, okay? Don't pay us per the how much is in there. They make an estimation. It's all an estimation. More or less, it's about 10 shekels a box. Okay, fine. You pay us. The Beis Din pays them. So now who owns it? Beis Din. Still, you can't do business with it. So they continue on selling it to the people per box. You buy per box, you pay a certain amount per box, and you have what you have there.
Nobody makes a profit.
What?
There's no profit.
There is, of course, there's profit.
There is profit?
Of course. People work. They get money, but they don't get money per kilo for the stuff. They get it like a global way. Like a global way. It's a bypass.
How come the prohibition is only against per kilo? How come the prohibition is only against selling per weight?
Because then you're buying actual food. Here they're paying them, not paying them for the food. They're paying the people who work for the picking. They're paying them for the storage.
The labor.
Paying them for labor.
The gasoline.
the gasoline, they're not paying him for the produce. At the end of the day, they're not paying him for the produce. You're not allowed to pay for the produce itself. If you pay per kilo, you're paying for the produce. If you pay per box, you're paying them for anything else they're doing around them. Okay? That's what the only difference is, that if it's something from goyim, right, from the Arabs, you eat and everything's okay. If it's something for the Jews through Otzal Beis Din, you have to be. We'll learn all that about this later. You have to be very careful to you can't throw out the peels, anything which you could eat or an animal could eat. You now have to throw it away. What do you do? There's a special.
When does it start?
For certain stuff, it starts after Rosh Hashanah.
Next year.
Certain. We'll learn about this. Certain things start after Rosh Hashanah, and as the year goes on, more things add on. And as the next half of the year, some things also. Even in the eighth year, there's stuff, fruit, which bloomed on the seventh year. In the eighth year, they grow. And that's also Shemitah fruit. Okay? Vegetables is from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But fruit, it usually starts from the middle of the seventh year until the middle of the eighth year.
So the piece of land in Jerusalem belongs to a non-Jew. You can walk there, you can eat the fruit from there.
Yeah, even not.
Because the land
you didn't work. It's not yours, you didn't do it. Only Jewish land. Also, there's another halacha about Shemitah. You let it go into a someone has a tree in his house, and Shemitah, you let it go and take. It's all hefker. The land is hefker. It's hefker means it's ownerless.
You don't have to ask permission.
Knock on the door. I'm taking the fruit. You don't have to say yes or no. Yeah.
So
that's
would you go into Ramallah and
you don't have to go to Ramallah. You go to your neighbor. By Jews, we're talking about.
But
not
by not go from the halacha.
Ma?
When you go now to the neighbor and say, I take your food, call the police.
Ah, that's a different issue. You go to your religious neighbor. So she'll be very happy to give you his food.
Can I work in a piece of land but not belong to a Jew?
Do you work? You can't work. Chas v'shalom. A guy could work.
No, when I came, the first time when I came to Israel,
it was Shemitah.
So I have a friend, I worked for him in the garden. And we work in the place. They said, Shemitah, yeah, we can walk them. This land not belongs to the Jews.
So I don't think you're allowed to.
Okay, I was.
You didn't know that?
No, I don't believe in him. Because I have no rabbi.
I think you now, I could ask, but I'm pretty sure you can't. So what they, so the Otzal Beis Din, that they give a hefker to the Beis Din, the Beis Din pays them for the labor, and then the Beis Din sells it on. Okay? Fine. So we learn what Otzal Beis Din is. Now everyone knows what Otzal Beis Din is. See a store that has Otzal Beis Din store. You know what it is.
So, what hectares are those? Or is it just? Is there
stores which are Otzal Beis Din? Says in the store, it's labeled Otzal Beis Din.
So clearly the Beis Din is going to be paying them more than they require for the labor. Otherwise, there's no reason for the farmers to harvest it if they're just breaking even, right?
Right. Of course.
So then they're still paying for the fruit. So I don't understand.
They're not really paying for the fruit. They're paying for the labor.
They're paying more so that they get.
Okay, so they pay more for the labor. It's like you're allowed to work on Shabbos, right? Work for a catering. I worked for once for a catering. I'll never do it again. Either. I worked for a catering on Shabbos, so but they can't pay me for hours I worked on Shabbos. So they paid for 2 hours after Shabbos. They paid me $200 an hour. Why? Because I worked the whole Shabbos. But really, they pay only for the 2 hours. People get paid for laning, for reading the Torah on Shabbos. How could that be? They get paid for the preparation. It's called Avla'a. You put it in. Also, it's included. Yeah, it's mutar. Okay, another thing called En Isu Chara Isu. Prohibition cannot fall on another prohibition. What does that mean? Davar Asu Min HaTorah, something which is prohibited from the Torah. En Isu Acher Echol Achol Alav Gon Of Tameh Shemet. En Aochlo Chaya Mishum Nevela Ela Mishum Isu Tmea. Okay. What does that mean? If a person has, we know that you can't eat certain birds, and they're not kosher. And you also can't eat a kosher bird that wasn't shechted halachically. Now, if you take a not kosher bird, which wasn't shechted correctly, halachically, not kosher, and you eat it, you're not overriding eating something that wasn't shechted correctly, you're over on the isu of eating a not kosher bird, only on that. There's no isu on another isu. There's one isu here, a not kosher bird. It doesn't make a difference if it was shechted, not shechted. Okay? Okay. Another thing, it's called Ein Mevatlim Isu Lechatchila. As you said, you can't. It's very important this thing. You can't nullify Isu Lechatchila. Yeah? You can't take Isu Lechatchila. Isu. For example, you can't take milk and put it in a challenge. Or another thing, you know that bugs, if they're cut small, that you can't recognize it, it's not a bug anymore, it's pieces. You're allowed to eat it. It's not, oh, you're not over on any Yisur. So the question is, are you allowed to take now some greens which grow not, they grow with bugs, not bugs, without all the sprays and stuff, and grind it up really, really well in the grinder. Yeah, now for sure there's no bugs left. If there are, there are pieces. Right? And I'll eat it now, lechatchila. So the halacha is, you now have to nullify isu lechatchila. You can't nullify the isu lechatchila initially to do this.
That brings up a question. Frozen vegetables. They're blanched, which is boiled. Then they're frozen. If there are any bugs left after the process.
There are any bugs left. Are there any bugs left?
Probably not.
So, what's it about?
But I mean, if there is a tiny piece of a bug.
Maybe some milk.
Some you pull, some you screw.
It looks like I see screw cap over here, but it seems to be not connected that way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's not really my job, I don't know.
No electricity?
Be very careful with this glass.
Okay.
What's all this?
I'm fine. The glass will. Hey, now it won't work for sure, right?
Right. But you may have a bang.
A what?
Bang.
Why? The gas?
No, the electrical contact.
Should we figure it out?
Yeah, turn it on. Let it rip.
Great.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. You know, for bugs, they normally, all they do is a light spring water to clean it. They don't actually check for bugs.
They don't check for bugs?
They don't check for bugs.
Using?
Hmm?
You have to have kosher frozen vegetables.
Yeah.
I'm talking about frozen.
There's a few companies. There's a Bodek. I was told by Abu Ad not to use it. It used to be good, he's told not to use it anymore. The Bodek. You know the Bodek? There's frozen vegetables and stuff which are Bodek. They're from New York. And I was told that you're not supposed to use them. There's a different company. I forgot what it's called. No, not yet. Okay.
So what popped out?
A little piece of glass.
I'll brush it off.
Something small, I don't know.
No, I don't want it on my backpack. Okay. I'll find it. Okay. Okay. So bugs we have to worry about.
So like I said, if I cause the Isra to be nullified. But if the Isra was nullified, even if someone did it, I'm allowed to eat it. Like I said before. Okay? Okay. Behemat Torah. What's a Behemat Torah? A kosher animal to eat. Right? Anything which is Behema or Chaya, it's both domesticated or wild, which is mafreset parsa, shosat shesa. Everyone knows that the bottom of the feet are separated completely. And ma'ala gira has four stomachs and swallows and brings it up. Yeah? Toa. But, for example, a camel is not kosher. Why? Because it does have four stomachs, but it's not mafris pasa. Everyone knows that a camel's leg is like a big plate because it has to walk in the desert. Hashem made it that way. Yeah, it walks that way. Also, arnevet and shafan, which are a rabbit and a shafan. I don't know how to say shafan.
A hare.
A hare?
Arnevet is a hare, and a shafan is a rabbit.
Yeah, I think the opposite.
I hit.
Anyways, doesn't make a difference. Those two. And also a chazir, a pig, right? They're mafris pasa, but they're not malei gira, and you can't eat them, okay? There's another chazal, this is Torah. The chazal taught us another way to know if the animal is kosher or not. If there's a thing, I don't know how you say it in English, nivim. Nivim.
Thanks.
Thanks, right, I forgot. Yeah, I knew that word. We learned the Gemara.
Yeah.
The Gemara, they took up the animal, the dog. Mm-hmm. If an animal has that, it's definitely not kosher, because the only reason it has that is for
tearing flesh.
The meat, right? And all the animals which are kosher are vegetarian. Okay. זה הבר מצווה שלך?
כן.
זה אתה.
לא שלי, של הבן שלי. אני הרבה שנים.
זה טוב. למעשה, I'll tell you all the animals which are kosher are an ox, a cow, and a shoal, pal, para, egg, a calf, of course, se, keves, goats, right? Sheep, goats, Taish, Gidiya, all these. And Bachayot.
Water buffalo, bison.
Oh, yeah, all these also. Ayal and Tzvi.
Deer.
Huh?
Tzvi is a deer.
Tzvi is a deer, and Ayal also. I don't know if you see that.
Deer
is kosher,
yeah.
Venison. I wrote the Aftara, and I was used to write. I wrote Aftara on a leather of a deer. Whatever, goats, deer, yeah. Bituli suim. Okay. Nullifying prohibition. Isur shinitarev beter v'esh v'esh v'esur batel v'arov. V'esh v'esur v'esh v'esh isurim shinam v'esh v'esh v'esh. Some things, some types of isurim, they can be nullified by majority. If the majority is kosher, the majority is not, it's kosher. There's some isurim, no, only if it's 1 for 60. There's some isurim, never. Okay? Some things are with 100, 1 in 100, some things are 1 in 200, right? In any case, it's nullified. But if it's something recognizable, for example, he had a whole stack of kosher apples. Okay, what are they, kosher apples? They were meiser. And one apple was in there, you know it wasn't meiser. One, two over 100. No problem. It's kosher. Still, since they're recognizable, there are not one drop of milk which gets old. You should take out one different apple, one other apple, and say that this is the one which shows in kosher, and take it away. Okay, you take it out. So, he goes through the book, he explains all these things. I just wanted, we're learning terms right now. Okay, what's bitul balov? Okay, nullifying in majority. Okay, he's going through them here. Isur shenitarev beheter min b'mino, something which is asur to eat, for example, not kosher meat, which was mixed with kosher food, kosher meat, and v'chadome, v'isur yavesh, v'enu noten tam beheter v'omed yifnei atzmo. Whoa, it's complicated. What?
It's
a
food, fly,
what fell in?
Fly.
Fly fell in?
And you cannot find them. So you take a piece of all the things.
You don't see? It's not a fine. Depends. We'll see if it's considered mixed or not. We'll know that it does.
So let's say you accidentally dropped a bit of milk and you're chilling on Shabbos. And you said you're supposed to take a bit out.
Yeah, but here you won't need to.
I know
you won't need to in milk, in the pot of milk, because it's not recognizable.
Okay. I thought it's just you're supposed to add, take the ball, the same, the equivalent volume.
Only if it's the...
You can recognize that this is the milk and you take that. Yeah. But again, on Shabbos, you can't do that. So can you...
Why can't you do that?
Because then you're not allowed to separate the bad.
Yeah,
from
you,
the
you
good.
Take also with some
ah,
good.
So you, okay. So you just take more.
Yeah. Yeah. Once, I made it off.
Inside.
If
there was a lot of ants?
No,
you don't have to throw them away. Just have to look carefully. There's no ants.
Yeah.
You didn't feel, you didn't want to eat ants. Okay, fine. It's weird. You don't want to eat ants. I don't know. You have enough ants, you're saying. You had plenty in Germany. They serve ants for dinner?
Once here, it was dark in the kitchen. I drink something. I put it away and I go back and drink and I run. I said, oh, what's so. Like alcohol was burning in the top. Then I realized it was ants.
Or, and where was it? Where are they doing? The tequila they make with a worm and. They say it gives flavor. And you can't eat it because it gives flavor. It has to be something which is not giving it extra. It's not giving it extra flavor. Then you could say it's butter bowl.
They add clams to tomato juice, and then they add that to beer.
What do they add?
Clams.
What's that?
Shellfish.
Huh.
Treif.
Yeah.
It's very popular in the States. You know, Bloody Marys and all that.
Bate v'shishim. What bate v'shishim? Min v'sheno minosh v'interev isu beter. Yeah, butter berov has to be the same. Butter berov majority has to be the same type, meaning a majority two pieces of meat, right? Three pieces of meat, one of them is not kosher. You take out one and you say these two are kosher, and that one's not. Okay, because majority with the same thing, yeah. Butter b'shishim is not the same stuff. For example, milk and meat, two different things. Okay. If it has 160, everything is at mutal. And if it doesn't have 160, it's all asu. Right. Yeah. דברים הבטלים ביותר מ-60, חלה, תרומה, ביקורים שתרבו בחולין, צריכים... כן. If we talk about תרומה, מייסר, stuff like that, right? Like I said, it has to be 1 to 100. 1 apple to 100 apples. Only then you let it take out 1 apple and say the rest is kosher. If you have less than that, yeah. Top. Isurim shenam betelim afilu be'elef. Some things they never, never alafah. Listen to this before you go. Where are you going? It's what you asked. Okay, I'll have to repeat. What can I say? If it's a whole animal, a whole fly that fell into the soup, it can never be nullified. A whole bug, which is whole, not pieces, it can never be nullified. It's not nullified. It's a soup to eat it. Okay?
So if you can find it, can you take it out?
Of course, take it out and drink. Eat. Yeah. If it's chaticha, it's a big piece. He had a chunk of meat, not kosher meat, that fell into the chunk. A big chunk. Even if there's more than 60 against it, doesn't nullify it. Doesn't nullify it. Then you don't go by 1 to 60. What else? Yeah? You don't go by, never nullifies, okay? Something which will be muta later. Will be muta later. For example, someone cooked something on Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat it. But let's say, now it was mixed with other things that weren't cooked on Shabbos before Shabbos. Now you don't know which is what. You can't eat there anything. Why? Because after Shabbos, everything will be mutal here, even what was cooked on Shabbos. Therefore, you can't eat anything there. Something which will be permitted later, You can't. It doesn't get nullified. Chametz Pesach, everyone knows. Yei Nesach, wine that was used for Avodah Zarah, right? Or the goyim, you know, that they touch open wine and stuff like that. Even a little bit, doesn't nullify.
So they actually have to touch the wine, or they just touch the bottle?
If it's sealed, they could touch a bottle and do whatever they want. It's not sealed, if it's open, and it's not cooked, they have a problem.
So that's what the importance of the bushel.
Right. The wine is less good when it's a bushel, but this is kosher.
What about someone who's not Shomer Shabbos handling it?
Depends, what does that mean, not Shomer Shabbos? He goes to shul sometimes? Never goes to shul? Chazon Ish says that if he became that religious before he was 15, just make sure he doesn't pour for you the wine to your cup.
Okay.
Anything else is okay.
What if you're having a mixed group? This happened on a Hanukkah party.
Some of them are kosher, some of them are not.
I didn't even touch the wine, but they had people there that were not Jewish.
Yeah.
They were, quote, studying.
No one, only you pour the wine, or only the owner of the house pours the wine. Don't do it. We have a custom that only the owner, no one allows to touch the wine, only the owner of the house. Okay, weird custom. There was a guy, I'll tell you a short, okay, tomorrow we'll talk about it more here. There was a guy, I'll tell you a story, an interesting story. He's famous, he wrote a book. He was in India, he was in jail for drugs. He was there for over a year. And he was able to run away from the hospital, the jail. And he on the way, he was going towards the border with Nepal. Cross the border there, that he could fly out of the to come back to Israel. He stopped by a place and they wanted to give him to eat. There's a rich family and they're hosting him. So he said, "What could I make?" He says, "Oh, I eat only fruits. My religion." So that, and then the TV was on and he was afraid that they might put his picture on it and the guy will recognize it. So with my religion, we don't watch TV. Please turn on the TV. In India, everything is accepted if it's your religion. It's like, oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, so you can always use that excuse and say, I don't know, my custom is that only the owner of the house touches the wine. Find a way. Play the game. Okay.